school, he wanted us to go out and celebrate as well. Now, a lot of the lads, obviously at that time, had kids and had their wives and this, that and the other, and he was like, well, Paddy, what are you doing this week? We know we've just won again. We ended up going out pretty much every Saturday night. And even if we lost, the gaffer was then saying to us, like, you're going out, or make sure you go out, because that is creating that relationship that we've kept, obviously, till today.
Yeah. And you scored an incredible 20 goals that season, which was impressive for two reasons, I think. One being that you didn't play as an out-and-out striker, and the second because they were all one-touch finishes, weren't they?
That's decent, isn't it? Yeah. it was only because I always used to chase my first touch and then just ended up going in. But no, somebody told me that stat and I was like, really? And then I watched them back and like, actually, yeah, it's true. Like, of all the goals were one touch, and it was purely because I just kept running round and I was always close to the goal. I scored a lot of my goals within the 6-yard box, and you haven't got time to take touches there, so you're just basically tapping them in. But I say it again, the quality that we had on the pitch at the time, when you've got Ashley Chambers the other side, Paddy played on the left, obviously in the midfield, but on the left, and he was like, I was just getting back post tap-ins, but I was fit enough to get to the back post, but still do my role of covering Lamre, covering Pars, played the right back a couple of times, covering John Challoner, and doing my defensive side as well. So it worked perfectly for me again.
Pretty good that you were fit enough, even though you've been out every Saturday night chasing goals.
We were chasing.
I'm just trying to wind up Paddy's wife at the back there.
No, not at all. They were chasing us.
Not the first time you caught us,
We'll come to that as well. Assist pass, don't worry about it, I've got it.
We're going to get him up for that.
Sorry.
So, I was just going to ask about that first touch. Were you aware of that at the time, or was that a stat that someone told you later? Because I thought the Newport County FA Trophy goal, I didn't know whether, when you saw it go over the keeper's head, you sort of thought, I'll just leave this to keep my...
No, I knew it was going in. So I didn't want to touch it just in case I missed. When you know it, genuinely, I didn't know it until the off-season. Somebody told me, I think, at the back of the new season or in the off-season, somebody told me then. Yeah. I did not think of that at the time when I thought it was going. If I had to touch it in there, I would have touched it in.
And with that goal, did it kind of make your mind up, because the keeper came a massive amount out of his goal, didn't
he? Yeah, he made it easy for me. Yeah. Because in a foot race against him at the time, I saw him coming, I just knew I had to get it over him. The intention wasn't to try and score. The intention was just get it over him, and then I would have just put it in. But as soon as I've probably taken a heavy touch and just not made sure it went over him, then I knew it was in, so it was sound. Yeah. Then it just looks like going in.
And it must be some feeling to play at Wembley, let alone score. So what's your kind of memories of that, looking back now?
Well, I can talk about the 8 days all day long, like, until I'm blue in the face. I didn't appreciate it then like I do now, because when you look back, you actually think, wow. And I don't know, obviously everybody that was in the room at the time, obviously that just got talking over there, the young nipper over there was probably... Maybe not old enough to remember it. I think his son's hung over 19, like, this was 14 years ago. No, sorry, yeah, 13, 14 years ago. And looking back at it now, you think, did those 8 days actually did happen? And it's like, I say this all the time, if you could get me a pen and paper and you said at the start of the season, write the perfect script for a player, write it out, someone's actually done that for me. Like, I don't think I could write a better script than what actually happened, but I don't take for granted everyone else's involvement, because without everybody else, and that's everybody, like, I'm not just saying just the players, the gaffer, everybody's involvement, it wouldn't have happened. And that moment, that season was just perfect.
Yeah, absolutely, which is why so many people are here as well, who remember those days fondly. Let's get Dan up, actually, from the back. Dan Pars, though, everyone. Talk about that assist, Sam. Perfectly timed run from Matt there.
Yeah, it was...
stayed onside.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just a landing long throw, wasn't it? And just had my leap well, and a little flick on for Bleary to score one of those tap-ins you mentioned earlier.
And you didn't know you were offside until later on, is that right?
Until the interview after. I genuinely didn't have a clue. Yeah. And then they said, I still didn't know then. The interviewer said about it, but
so what? what do you want me to do about it? Let me play the game. Like, that was my response. Genuinely, I was like, no, what do you want about?
And on that game as well, you know, I remember Inge saying to me that there was no panic when we conceded after 70 seconds, and I wondered whether that was the same for you two, or whether that was just because Inge's quite laid back and quite a character, isn't he? Were you thinking the same thing when we went 1-0 down?
Yeah, I think it was obviously a bit of a shock, but I think if the fact that it happened so early, we had some old heads on the pitch, and yeah, we just, everyone sort of kept calm, and I think we sort of grabbed hold of the game really pretty quickly after that, and then we scored at a good time. Ash scored a great goal, and yeah, I thought we deserved it. I mean, I know we had a few chances, and there were a few last gaps. I mean, Landry's, I mean, his head at the back post, and a few instances like that. But yeah, I thought on the day we deserved it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. You say chances, but then when you're trying to describe, there wasn't actually. There was Landry's header that was important.
Yeah.
He didn't have saved. No, saves to make, did he? He was a real resolute sort of.
I think so. I think we were organised. I mean, we did have about 11 defenders on the pitch. I mean, you're on the field. You had me, Landry, and James Meredith in midfield. So, and then you've got a back four. I mean, sorry, Pat, where's Paddy? Yeah. It was just so. I think Millsy sort of set us up. You know, hard to break down, and then with the front three we had, we always capable of getting the goal, so yeah.
And you've obviously both gone on to play for other clubs, and then obviously you came back, but I imagine like any job, you don't always keep in touch with people when you move on, sort of employment wise, but when you've kind of achieved something like that together, does that make it almost easier to stay in contact and like make more of an effort?
I mean Blair's mentioned twice in a week, and it doesn't happen really very often at all, does it? So I think York's history and the fact we played a big part in that. We all make a conscious effort to try and stay in touch, and I think the group we had in 2012, the success we had, just to be a part of that, I feel very, very fortunate, and events like this, it's just great to see everyone again.
Yeah, is that the same for you, Massey?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly the same. It's difficult to speak to people on a daily or a weekly basis, but I genuinely feel like we pick up the phone to majority of that squad even now and just be like, all right, mate, how's it going? Like, what's new? What's going on in your life? And just have a half an hour chat about rubbish, basically, and then say sound. Like, catch up soon.
So when you say the majority of the squad, who are you?
I just don't know what everybody's number now. That's the thing. I probably have, but it's like, yeah.
Moses, actually, Moses?
I don't know.
So, When I was asking people about questions to ask you guys tonight, quite a lot of people were saying, you know, what are they up to now?
I'm an accountant for a firm in Leeds, completely obviously different football, fancy doing something away from sport, really. I enjoy it. I mean, the work's tough. It's, I think on the back of a head injury that I still struggle with now, really, it's sort of got that extra dimension to it, if you like. So, I think juggling family life and everything else, but without getting everyone too depressed, it's just completely different to football, isn't it? And like you said, we all need to work after football, and you enjoy it when it lasts. And it's just.
It's hard being in a different work, because I imagine footballers, you know, I spent the afternoon with Paddy and Josh and Matty, and you can tell you have the banter and that. I can imagine dressing rooms are real good fun, and but workplace is often very boring and people are very straight-laced. Is that quite difficult?
I assume most people in here are obviously all working. I tell you one thing that's bloody annoying is HR. Oh my god, the absolute politics you have to go through for certain things is ridiculous. So, whereas, I mean that in the nicest possible way, by the way, I'm not a comedian. But I mean, in terms of, obviously, everyone will know this. You can't have the same like banter, the same crap, the same little jokes that you can have in an office, in a workplace, where it would be deemed. And I don't mean bullying or anything like that. I genuinely mean just the little tiny dad jokes, the rubbish dad jokes that we all get away with. Like, we don't get away with in an office, but we got away with it football. It's like you just. It's like, am I allowed to say that? Can I say? But it's just, yeah. That for me is the one thing that is like,
right, you've really got to watch, going from that environment to the another environment, watch what you say and what you can and can't get away with and this, that and the other. And I genuinely don't mean that in any sort of bullying way or anything. I just think it's just a general...
There's just nothing else like it, like a football dressing room. It is such a unique space where you spend so much time together as a group, you know, on buses for 9 hours, wherever it was,
You don't get away with anything.
No, you
genuinely just don't get away with anything. But then in a working environment, it's like you see people, and then those people as well, they don't necessarily have the same mindset. In a changing room, you're all working with the same people, aiming for the same goal, and you're all in the same mindset of competing and working and this, that, and the other. In an office, in the nice possible way, I'm sure we've all worked with lazy people where you're like, oh, you're well annoying. It is. It's like, oh, okay, I'll do that, shall I, mate? Because, yeah, you can't be bothered to sound. You know, like, in a changing room environment or on a football pitch, you could absolutely nail somebody and then I guarantee they wouldn't do it again. So it's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That sort of mindset and mentality and whatever, going from one to another.
Yeah. Have you nailed someone in HR? Is this what?
No. I've had to keep everything. I'm not clever enough.
That sounded worse than I after what we said at the start.
Sorry, Fiona.
Filthy mind over here.
Keep it clean
on this microphone.
It's
meant to be a PG. Yeah. Does anyone work in HR?
Oh, yeah. Anyone that was HR? Yeah, exactly. There you go. Annoying.
Dan, I just wanted to sort of, I think you were the last player to have a testimonial here at York City, so I just wondered what your thoughts are on, you know, sort of Paddy having it. Does it bring back fond memories of your own kind of testimonial?
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate enough to, I think I got, obviously with the injury and being forced to retire, to then get granted a benefit year was something I felt very fortunate. It was just an opportunity to have all these events that we're doing now for Paddy in his year, and it's just an opportunity to discuss the brilliant times that, I mean, I enjoyed as a player with incredible teammates, and just to be part of it and to be asked to help was a huge privilege from Paddy. I just love talking about football and the fun times we had together, so to be able to be part of Paddy's year and to see all the success, and it's just so very much deserved, and couldn't have to do a nice guy.
His head will pop up again. and just sort of finally, just to finish off, you two, favourite Gary Mills stories?
I'll go for it, right. Right, bear in mind, this is going to make you sound a little bit old and whatever. You know, 2011, 2012, that's when Twitter first started coming out. So imagine life before Instagram, before your Twitters and all that. I know a few people might not even be on any of these now. Right, so there was Facebook, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and we joked about the single life and this, that, and the other. I got a friend's request from Gary Mills' daughter, right? And I did not know what to do. I had no clue. It's rude. It was rude to obviously just pie a friend request, right? And it's rude. But then I thought, if I had her, like, what? Where does that go? What does that do? Right? I'm panicked. I was with Paddy. It's my pop tour. I was like, Paddy.
Oh, sure.
Paddy, yeah. Paddy, what do I do? Paddy, what do I do? And he's like, just accept it. Go on, just go for it. Go for it. Come on, just do it. Whatever. Give it. Yeah, yeah. All right. You're not the one that's going to absolutely get your nuts chopped off. So I came up with a brilliant idea of, I need to talk to him. Right? So he's gone in, and this was the second year. So, you know, I got on really well with the gaffer. I think the world of the man, I love him to pieces. So I've gone in, Blair, you are saying, yeah, good. Yeah, Gaffer, I need to talk to you. So, but Gary Mills is a bit of a fossil, right? He doesn't know what really Facebook is. And he's gone, I've had a friend request from your daughter, and his face just went. Right? Because obviously, anyway, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean?
At the time, there was a thing where it was called being poked on Facebook, wasn't it? So you didn't say I've been poked by.
No, I left that detail out.
Yeah.
And it was a pure moment, obviously it was one of those moments, and it's like his face just dropped, and I've never
myself so much because I'm like, I'm a young lad, and he's like, what's that mean? I was like, no, it doesn't mean anything, Gaffer. I promise, it doesn't mean anything. I just don't want to be rude and just ignore it or leave. He's like, well, what do you mean? She gave you a friend request. It means if I accept it, she can see what I'm doing, and I can see what she's doing. He's like, this is what it was. I know it's different, right? So you got Chibo, who's the assistant, Chibo in the corner. He has literally gone like this. Just like, he had a zip top on, he's gone like that, right? Zipped up, he's like that, in the corner, down, and his shoulders are like, right? I'm nervous as anything. Gaffer's sitting at his desk, I'm seeing Jibo's shoulders going in the corner, I'm trying not to laugh, and he's just like, well, what does that mean? And I'm trying to explain to him, it doesn't mean anything, but I'm just trying to be polite and let him know what's going on. That was the story, basically. But and he actually went, sir, thanks for coming to tell me. No, do what you want, basically. So I accepted it, and nothing happened or anything like that or whatever. So I don't want you dirty minds thinking something went on. But it was just that moment of pure panic and fear. And the Irish boy in the corner over there was just like, go on then, mate. Yeah, go. Like, cheers, Pat. Thanks, mate. So, yeah, that was a very close encounter I had with Gary Mills. But it's funny, and yeah, we speak about it now.
Can you tell that, Dan?
No.
It's worth asking.
Yeah. Millsy was just such a warm sort of, and he'd do anything for his players, like, and then I think as a player you just sort of run that bit further or jump that bit higher, and it didn't obviously work out for him that time round when we sort of, I mean, he ended up losing his job pretty quickly and we had a bad couple of years, but can't speak highly enough for him, really.
Thank you very much. Two fantastic legends in Yorkshire. Okay, so we're going to move forward 10 years later when Yorkshire would achieve another promotion, this time from the National League North. This player was a teammate of Paddy's at two different clubs. He also scored the final goal at Booth and Crescent, which he's saying is true. So please welcome the brilliant Scotty Barrow. Hear the
murmurings
now.
Right.
Scott, so go on,
Foyle,
tell us how you saw the final goal at Birmingham Crescent.
Obviously, at the time, we had COVID and stuff, and we had a pre-season, friendly against Gateshead at Birmingham Crescent, the last game, and I was on the bench for the first half, so I didn't really start. Come on, and I scored to make it 3-1, so that was the last goal, in my opinion. Josh King's got it, but me and Josh King all the time, we have a little band all the time. But
what's still that, now?
Yeah, yeah.
He still texted, it was me.
It's his birthday yesterday, and I said exactly the same thing. Still got
it. not happy birthday.
No.
I scored the last goal, fair enough.
100%.
I was looking at the Gateshead squad during the time that you and Paddy were there, and lots of the York City crossovers, weren't there? Robbie Tinkler, Russ Penn, Jamal Fifield, Reg York, of course Paddy, and I just wonder what your first impressions were of the Irish player.
Well, he's a spectacular player, to be honest. He's a workhorse, never say die attitude, during games, in training, set standards a lot. When things is not right in training, he has got a little short fuse, to be honest, which we didn't know about, but he has come up a few times. But he's a winner. Like I said, he's a fantastic bloke. Like I said, good friend of mine, and he's helped. Like I said, not just on the field, just off the field as well. He's helped me a lot, especially over the last couple of years, especially when I had injury as well. So he's a fantastic bloke on the pitch, but even better bloke off it as well.
Lovely words there. And another link was obviously the manager, Steve Watson, who brought you to York City. But this was in COVID times. So just sort of remind us, what was life like for a footballer during that time? And did you sort of sign with a face mask on? It was crazy, wasn't it, last time?
No, I didn't sign with a face mask on, to be honest. I had a long hair. I had a massive beard. To be fair, I had a huge beard at the time. Didn't bother having a shave, didn't bother having a haircut when I did sign. So But it was weird. I moved to York. I lived in an apartment just around the corner from Booth and Crescent, which was ideal. It was a nice little stroll up the road. I was with Akil Wright, but it was strange because we used to go training and then we had to go back to the apartment and literally stay there for the rest of the night. So it was strange the first year, then get to see obviously what York is all about. But until the second year then, when I was back for another year, then that was probably the best year of the time I was there at York.
Yeah, I just wanted to just flip back a little bit, because I was there that for your first goal against Chorley at home, one that did count, not the one that... what was it like, Scott? Because it was a great goal, and it was with your right foot as well, from 20-odd yards. What was it like scoring in an empty stadium? I mean, I'm sure you'll hear David Ward, but what else do you remember about that?
It was just weird playing that season, to be honest, playing behind closed doors, no fans. It was just weird overall, and especially when I did score that goal against Chorley, one of the rare occasions I scored my right foot, to be honest. I literally didn't know what to do. I think I ended up jumping on Ducky and he picked me up in the air. I literally didn't know what to do. Then I went to run. I just ran over and jumped on Ducky, and that was it, really. It was weird, but like I said, that year was just weird in general. The whole season. It was only about 3 months of it. But it was just weird in general. We play one game and then through the team had COVID, and then we play another game and then be back in housing again. It was just weird overall, and but that goal counts anyway, so yeah. I can't
interesting. I mean, your best moment in the York City show was also probably your worst, wasn't it? Your best because you finally achieved that promotion you'd been missing from your career, but the worst because of the terrible injury that you suffered. So how do you look back on that now? Because obviously you're out for sort of 16, 17 months, weren't you? Do you look back on it differently than you did at the time when you were sort of going through it? Can you look back on it sort of philosophically?
Yeah, I look back. Like I said, I played a big part of that season. So I think at the time, when I was injured, I didn't really feel like I achieved anything. It was weird. Like I said, you get promoted, to this day, like I said, I didn't really pick up my medal. I didn't even touch a trophy. It was just a weird, weird feeling. But like I said, over the coming months, I watched the game back, and I got an assist for the shot score from the long throw in, which in my little skinny arms, I don't know how I got a long throw. But I watched it back, and I watched it back again, and every time I see highlights, especially when York put something on social media of the day, I think it brings back a lot of memories, but now it's happy memories. Like, saying Shop scored the first goal, obviously I didn't see the second goal, but watching it back now when Maz scored, and little things like, Paddy's celebration as well, standing there, getting angry or joy or whatever it was, seeing the fans, it was, like I said, it was something special, and I look back now as something that I have achieved. I've got the shirt and the medal up in my house, so I can look at that now and be proud of something that I did do.
Absolutely, you made a massive contribution. So when Maz's goal went in, then did you hear the roar in the changing room? Whereabouts were you? Were you kind of treatment? What was happening?
Yeah, I was on the treatment table and gassing it, to be honest. I remember the roar, but it wasn't really that loud. So I think I remember seeing my dad. I think Boston has scored, and he went running out of the room. When he came back in, he went, no, it's 2-0, Maz has scored. To be honest, I don't mind saying it, but I ended up crying. I said, Dad, we've done it. Because the one thing I haven't had in my career is a promotion. And when my dad told me Maz scored, I started crying, saying we did it. So it was a relief. But obviously the pain wasn't a relief, to be honest, but it was good to see the players after the game celebrating. Like I said, they all come in before they even started throwing the champagne in the change rooms. They all come in to see me. Lenny got told off for bringing the Guinness in. I was like, he brought in the Guinness, he said, don't get that down to you, and then Lewis Lou was a physio, topped off, he's straight away saying, oh, that's him. So, but no, he was good to see the lads in the changing room as well, like celebrating. But like I said, I wish I was part of it.
Yeah, of course. And I was looking back at that team, it was a very young back line, wasn't it? Max Coogan, Sam Sanders, Ollie Dyson at right back. But there was a good blend of experienced heads in the dressing room, like yourself, Paddy, Michael Woods, Duckett, of course, Matty Brown, Lenny, etc. Do you think that made the difference in that those sort of crucial playoff games?
I think at the start of the year, it wasn't that young, was it? It was me, Ducky, Matty Brown and Nils. I think it wasn't a young back four then. But the accident at the end, it kind of was. But we had a good knit squad. Obviously, people didn't think we did because at the start of the season we did have. But we knew that we were a good enough side. Actually, we made a few additions. Obviously, Gaffer, John Askey brought a few players in, including Linnell, and he made a difference up top, scoring the goals that we needed. But we knew from the moment that, when John came in, he needed to change a few things. As he said, be a little bit fitter. When we literally run nearly every day when he did come in, but it made a big difference.
Was that the biggest change that he made then, John? Was it purely down to fitness?
Yeah, he just remember the first day, he just called us all lazy. He went fitter. Simple as. We've all played under him, and we all know what he's like. We all, like I say, everyone calls me and John these days, father and son, because literally he's on my case all the time, he rings me all the time. But I knew what he was going to be like, and I remember the first thing he said, we're not fit. We literally running with the ball, everything. But it all worked because we went on a 15 game unbeaten streak. We were a good run in the FA Trophy as well. So, like I said, I knew once we got to that playoffs, I knew that no one's going to stop us because we were in a good rain form.
Yeah. And I just wanted to touch upon you sort of since you've left York City, because you battled back so hard to regain full fitness and joined Downs and on loan where you guys were dead and buried. I mean, I think you were about 11 points adrift with about three games to play. How the hell did you manage to stay up? It was an incredible achievement.
I think it was somewhere like, I didn't really look at the table when I did sign. I just wanted to play football again. I knew at the time I wasn't going to get that opportunity. So I wanted to go on loan, obviously lucky enough. Steve took me in until I saw the table. I think we were 18 points, I think we were. Going into my first game at Kings Lynnway. So that was a lovely trip. That was, I've come away with that with a 1-0 win. For me, it was just hoping that I still love football. But that loan spell I did have, I was surprised how fit I was. I'm surprised how I lasted, played nearly every game. But I just thought I enjoyed it. I enjoyed having the smile back on my face, which I lost for a pretty long time. Until now, I've still got this smile back on my face. I just love playing football, I enjoy it. It's just that loan spell was superb and the great escape.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good.
And coming back to LNER last season with Darlington, obviously you didn't get a chance to say goodbye really to the supporters. So did that game almost give you a little bit of closure on your sort of York City chapter? And you nearly scored cheekily, didn't you?
No, if it did go in, I probably then wouldn't know what to do, to be honest. But that was something special. It was kind of crazy that my dad actually did say, imagine you get York in the next round. I said, it won't be possible. And we did. It was a nice chapter to close, to be honest. I didn't get that play. I only wanted to play just one game, put that red shirt back on, and playing for the U-Lot. But I didn't get to have that opportunity, but to play it, obviously, in a different colour. But to play against York, it was something special. Obviously, my family were there that day, and I think the reception I had as well, I didn't think I'd have a good reception, but I had a fantastic one, which I really do appreciate. But even though we lost that day, it was something that will sit with me for the rest of my life because, like I said, it was a chapter that I could close. It was just that one little bit left, and I finally did. And like I said, I got to walk away from the LNER Stadium with smiles on my face and no regrets, really, so it was good.
Yeah, you deserve that, definitely. And the start to this season, I was looking, you know, I think you won yesterday, didn't you, with Darlington, and National League North looks just as tough as ever. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it's a tougher league this year. Like I said, we won yesterday 3-0 against Alphington. You all know what Alphington are like, long balls, long throw-ins. But from the first minute to the last, we were fantastic. We come away with a 3-0 win. But the first game, we lost to Chorley, typical Mark Ellis. Throw in or set piece, he scores again, does my head in. But that's it, you know, that's what the league is like. You know, you don't get a lot of teams that do play football. There's a lot of teams that throw the ball in or long balls and stuff like that. I said, I'm pretty glad you all got out of that league now. But like I said, we had a good result yesterday, but we got an even tougher one on Tuesday night at home against Files. So I'm looking forward to that one because obviously we play football and they play a bit of football as well. So hopefully it'll be a little entertaining game.
Yeah. Well, good luck the rest of the season. And you know, you talked about having a good reception. I'm sure you're going to get one now. So Scotty Barrow, everyone. Thank you. Promotion with his teammate at the end of the season. His hat trick against Woking last season was absolutely superb. We're all excited to see what he can do in a full season as Yorkshire's number 9. He turned down a meet and greet in Oldham tonight to be here, so please come up. First of all, what time did you get back last night from Truro?
4:30 last night. This morning, sorry. I got mine. We had to do 3 stop-offs, one in Sheffield, one in Donny, and then back to Hopgrove.
Yeah. But you must be delighted to get off and running. I know, like, obviously as a striker, you must be pleased to get on the score sheet and kind of imagine you have goal targets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think off the back of last season, I set myself a target on what I wanted to hit on a personal level. And then on the team level, and I think didn't get the minutes I wanted to get on the first game, but then yesterday to get off the mark, and Ollie finally decided to pass it instead of shooting.
Brilliant, I needed a soundbite. I mentioned there about being the new number 9. I think you wore number 9 when you played for England schoolboys as well, so are players bothered by what number they wear? I mean, it's different from when I was growing up. Number 9 meant quite a lot. Does it mean much to you?
I think a number's a number. I think Dips was still in York by the time I'd asked for it. But yeah, as soon as I heard the news that Dips was going, I kind of had it in my head I wanted to go get it before in case we made a signing and someone come in and took it. And yeah, I probably couldn't have got it much quicker if I tried to.
Fair enough. And you're still relatively early in the York City career, so I wanted to kind of touch upon your journey in the game so far. Like I said, England schoolboys, you had a fantastic record for them, including a hat-trick against Scotland. So to score for your country, let alone a hat-trick, must have been great experiences for you growing up.
Yeah, I was actually too old, so it probably don't count. I got banned after the game, but...
How much older?
2 months.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be January, but it's November, and then they come in with my ID after the game, a picture of it. And then we got voided, but yeah, it was...
A sad story.
Yeah, it was another. No, we played. It was like a shield, so there was Wales, Northern Ireland, us in Scotland. I think it was Northern Ireland. And then we went and played Northern Ireland away, scored in the last minute to beat them, and then we played Scotland at Spennymoor. I think 4,000 or 5,000 was there, something like that. And yeah, hat trick. It was good. Yeah.
Special. Paddy won't play for Northern Ireland, was he?
Overage player. 4 years ago.
I mean, you started your career at Guiseley. I mean, the sheer mention of that team gives me PTSD. So, but you signed for Wigan. I was looking back at the sort of news articles around that time. It said that Blackburn, Sunderland, Rangers all wanted to sign. So it must have been a tough decision on where to kind of play the next part of your career, was it?
Yeah. I don't actually know what happened. I played 22 games, got relegated, scored once, nicked a move to Wigan, who was in the champ. So I don't actually know what happened. It was all to do with the schoolboy stuff. But yeah, there was a lot of interest. I went on trial at Wigan for 2 days. And my family loved it, my mum loved it. And she's normally right when I don't listen to her, so it goes pretty wrong. So I was supposed to go to Blackburn the week after, and then Wigan offered me a 3-year deal, and couldn't really say no, to be honest. So I never even went anywhere else. I think the Rangers one was a load of crap, to be honest. I never heard of them then.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Wigan, I loved every minute of it there, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Rangers there, but you did play in Scotland, didn't you, for Ross County as well. What was that experience like? And Malky Mackay, I think, was your manager, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a Friday, or Saturday morning, sorry, and I just got told they're interested, they're 7 hours away, do you want to go? And then I got in my car Monday morning and drove up. It was kind of first time away from home living on my own. I was in Diggs then. So I think it made me grow up a lot. I was living with a guy called Gwion Edwards. But he did his hamstring, so he come back to Wigan. He was on loan from Wigan as well. So then it was living on my own and trying to cook for myself and not getting ill and doing all that stuff. A lot of phone calls from my mum. But I think it made me grow up as a person off the field and on the field. I loved every minute of that. I've still got friends that I chat to now. And yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And did you play the Old Firm? You played at Rangers or something?
No, I was on the bench again. Making a good goal at that bench.
How did the York move come about then? So did you, you know, there's so many questions here. There was a lot of controversy about the time. This is your chance to set the record straight, particularly for Oldham fans who are still crying about it. What happened? How did the York move come about?
So, to be completely honest, when I went back to Oldham the second time, York come in for a loan and a perm in January. And obviously I was comfortable at Oldham. I'd known the players, known them when they played, known Mickey really well. So I went there. And then when that ended, Wigan kind of said, you're not going back there on a loan, you're either staying or you're going on a permanent. And then York got in touch, spoke with the manager, spoke with Tony Mack. And yeah, I didn't actually know any players here, so I just kind of... It's kind of a two-day thing. It all happened pretty quick, and then before you knew it, it was done. But yeah.
So it wasn't a straight sort of choice between York and Oldham. It was more that York.
No, Oldham was never a permanent choice. So it was York or Wigan.
Yeah, no choice to make.
It's kind of a go and make a name for yourself. Because to be honest with you, I knew at the time I was never going to do that at Wigan. They had experienced players in, and it was kind of, we want you in and around it for training, for numbers, but when it comes to a Saturday 3 o'clock, you're not needed. So I wanted to go and make my own name for myself, and I felt like York was the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. And I mentioned the working hat-trick in the introduction. These were your first goals for the club. Did you feel any pressure going into that game? Because, you know, the club had paid a fairly big fee for you. I think Ollie was suspended, so it was like, literally, he was only going to be out that one game. Did you feel like it was an opportunity for you to show what you could do and be the main man?
Yeah, I think since I've only been a striker since I was 17, but ever since I have, I like leading the line on my own, going off my own movement, not having to play off someone. But I think coming here has made me learn to do that in training and stuff, because that's the way the manager wants to play. But I did put a lot of pressure on myself that day, because I thought, this is your time now to show what you can do. And I don't normally do that, but I did that day, and now to pay off,
so. Yeah, well, you got the first goal after about 5 minutes, didn't you? It felt like a weight was lifted and sort of almost like your game from then on, you sort of relaxed into it. Is that how it was for you?
Yeah, I think because I'd played quite a few games before then and I'd not scored yet, so it was kind of saying to myself, right, it's about time you put something back in there now. That's why I went off top in a watch, because it was about time. But yeah, that one
now
was just
instant. Now you can have any sponsors for this watch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. That one was just Port Booker being where I was told to be from the corner. So yeah, the first one was Port Booker, and the second one was a counter, and then the third one's probably my favourite goal.
Well, that was my next question. I thought the third goal was my favourite one. You sort of leaning backward, you connected across, and is that up there with one of your best career goals? Would you say?
I think my favourite. Yeah, I think I've said to everyone who spoke to me about it, I think if you don't score the first two, that never goes in. I think it's momentum, and you're on top of the world, are you? And everything you seem to touch seems to go right. And like I say, if the first two don't go in, that probably goes somewhere behind the net, far away.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, I kind of grew up in an era with numbers 1 to 11. I mean, so I sound really old here, but everyone played two up front back then, and lots is kind of made of that you and Ollie can't play on the same side. And I wondered, you sort of said there you like leading the line yourself, but what does get the best out of you? Do you think you and Ollie can play in a partnership?
I think we can, yeah. I think we showed that yesterday, but I think stuff like that takes time. And I think when I come in January, I've said this before, we didn't have time. We was chasing the league, and I understood that. And at the end of the day, we was going for the league. We didn't have time to start chopping and changing and going away from things that were working. And then I think a few bad results, you get people who jump on the bandwagon of it's not working, and you can't argue with that because it won at the time. But I think if you just give it time and let us bond a relationship, then it might go wrong, but it might work. You just never know. But I feel like you've seen when Ebbsfleet away last year, come on, Ollie scored two again, but got in the two goals, got in the penalty at Halifax. He got me the goal yesterday, so it obviously can work together, but I just think it needs time.
Yeah, okay. And when Ollie said and done about the Oldham kind of reactions and the songs in the playoff, there were a kind of backhanded compliment, weren't there, really? Did you sort of see it as that? But they wouldn't be making that much...
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. The point I'm making is that they won't be saying that if you were a crap player and not someone
respected. I'd take my notice of it. I was more bothered by where Yorker gave my mum tickets. She was sat next to the away end with my grandma.
That's unfortunate.
And that was my sister's first ever game, so she got to see it all. And then the next day it was stuck in my head. We just got beat and I was humming it around my house. I swear to God, it was doing my head in and it was just going round and round. But I didn't really pay no notice of it, I think. I don't really care if they give me a stick, to be honest. It just spurs you on. Yeah. Obviously, they have the last laugh, but...
I mean, finally, you're here to support Paddy. What's it like training with someone who's twice your age? You call him that?
It's a compliment, though. Not bad, brother. Jokes aside, on and off the pitch, I think I've only been here since January, but he's helped me and given me advice, maybe to do with it going out every Saturday that he did when he was my age. And he's told me there's a time and a place, but he's a top player. I think he decides to make me once a month. And just a top guy. I think it shows the bond we have that I'm here tonight when I've only been here a short amount of time. And yeah. Obviously, I can't tell you much about his career before this because I didn't know who he was before coming out. But from what I see every day, he's an unbelievable player and an even better person. And like you say, he's helped me when I've needed help. And if he ever needs help, he knows where I am.
I wish you the best of luck this season. Great to see you on the score sheet yesterday. And, you know, hopefully, many more goals to come.
Thank you very much.